In today's news headlines, the Senate Health Committee on Tuesday held a hearing to examine whether it was safe for Americans to return to work and school in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. Among those testifying was the nation's leading infectious diseases expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who has been barred by President Donald Trump from testifying to the House because Democrats are in the majority there. During his opening remarks to the Senate committee, Fauci warned that if states reopened businesses too soon, quote, we risk the dangers of multiple outbreaks throughout the country. This will not only result in needless suffering and death, but would actually set us back on our quest to turn back to normal. Also testifying on Tuesday were Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Robert Redfield, Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Stephen Hahn, and President Trump's coronavirus testing czar, Admiral Brett Giroir. The hearing was conducted with Fauci, Redfield, and several key senators joining in via live video conferencing as they self-quarantined at home. Republican Senator Lamar Alexander, who was in isolation after one of his staffers tested positive for COVID-19, chaired the meeting and said that the nation's testing capacity was, quote, impressive but not nearly enough. He then warned against finger-pointing because almost every country, quote, underestimated this virus. Senator Patty Murray, who is the ranking Democrat on the committee, countered that corruption and political interference have impeded efforts to secure desperately needed personal protective equipment and promoted dangerous, unproven treatments. Most of the Republicans on the panel appeared to toe President Trump's line, while most of the Democratic lawmakers grilled the gathered experts. Among them was Senator Tim Kaine, who asked Dr. Fauci about the massive death toll in the U.S., which is now at 80,000 and climbing and surpasses all other nations globally.
The death rate in the United States, especially when compared with other nations, is unacceptable, isn't it?
Excuse me. Sorry, sir. Yes, of course. I mean, a death rate at that high is something that, in any manner or form, in my mind, is unacceptable.
And Dr. Fauci, the experience of other nations shows that the U.S. death rate is not only unacceptable, but it's unnecessary. Isn't that correct?
I don't know if we can say that, Senator.
But would you say that the U.S. has to do better?
Of course, you always have to do better. I mean,
That's Dr. Fauci at Tuesday's Senate Health Committee hearing responding to Senator Tim Kaine. Senator Elizabeth Warren questioned if the U.S. was anywhere near controlling the spread of the virus.
Do we have the coronavirus contained?
Senator, thank you for the question. Right now, it depends on what you mean by containment. If you think that we have it completely under control, we don't. I mean, if you look at the dynamics of the outbreak, and we are seeing a diminution of hospitalizations and infections in some places, such as in New York City, which has plateaued and starting to come down, New Orleans, but in other parts of the country, we are seeing spikes.
And Senator Bernie Sanders asked FDA Commissioner Stephen Hahn if a potential future vaccine would be made available free to all Americans.
If and when the vaccine comes, it won't do somebody any good if they don't get it. And if they have to pay a sum of money for it in order to profit the drug companies, that will not be helpful. Are you guaranteeing the American people today that that vaccine will be available to all people, regardless of their income?
Sir, the payment of vaccines is not a responsibility of FDA, but I'm glad to take this back to the task force. I share your concern that this needs to be made available to every American.
Meanwhile, House Democrats released a $3 trillion economic stimulus package on Tuesday and expect it to pass along party lines by Friday. The measure includes desperately needed state and local funding. As the Senate hearing unfolded, Trump tried hard to distract from the discussions by engaging in angry tweets filled with defensive rants and conspiracy theories. A day earlier, he had held a press briefing, standing in front of a victorious-sounding banner that read, "America leads the world in testing." Analysts pointed out that Trump's claims are flat-out lies, and that even during the hearing, there was talk of ramping up to the level of per capita testing that South Korea conducted. South Korea is being held up as a model of how a government successfully tackled the virus. So far, the U.S., a nation of 325 million people, has conducted only 9 million COVID tests. Many other nations have conducted far higher levels of per capita testing. As is his habit now, Trump also clashed with women reporters, including CBS's Weijia Jiang and CNN's Caitlin Collins. Trump defensively demanded that Jiang, quote, "Don't ask me, ask China that question," when she asked why so many Americans are dying if the U.S. is supposedly leading on testing. The Chinese-born Jiang retorted, "Sir, why are you saying that to me specifically?" After ignoring another female reporter trying to ask a question, Trump stalked off, ending the briefing in a huff. The federal government continues to draw scrutiny over its handling of the pandemic, and this week the coordinator of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, Dr. Deborah Birx, admitted that the distribution of a controversial new drug called remdesivir was mishandled. And NBC obtained an unreleased government document showing that new cases of infection in the country's heartland have spiked, in some cases by more than 200%. Meanwhile, the Labor Department is under fire for encouraging employers to report those workers who are too frightened to return to work, saying that they were ineligible for unemployment benefits. The U.S.'s indigenous population is on the front lines of the coronavirus crisis, as the 500 or so tribally owned casinos remain largely closed and have cut off incomes for many communities. One expert estimates that about two-thirds of tribal employees are out of work, and that it is a matter of, quote, life and death. The Navajo Nation, located in New Mexico and Arizona, is facing one of the worst COVID-19 outbreaks in the nation, so much so that the international aid group Doctors Without Borders has rushed in to help. The rate of per capita infections in the U.S.'s most populous tribal nation is higher than in any other state. In other news, the U.S. Supreme Court this week is hearing arguments in three cases centered around President Trump's refusal to allow his former accounting firm and two banks to release his tax returns. While Trump's lawyers claimed he is being, quote, harassed and undermined, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office countered that no one is, quote, above the law. In election news, Trump's re-election campaign fundraising has slowed for a second straight month, indicating his waning popularity. But he still remains more competitive financially compared to his rival Joe Biden. A new poll has found that Biden's popularity fell by several points, although he still remains more popular than Trump, albeit by a sliver. And the state of Nebraska held its primary election on Tuesday. It was the first in-person race since Wisconsin's controversial election over a month ago. A large number of Nebraskans had already voted by mail. In international news, Wuhan, China, where the coronavirus was documented to have originated, has now reported six new cases of the virus and what officials fear may be the start of a second wave of infections. In sharp contrast to the U.S., Chinese government officials announced an ambitious plan to test all 11 million residents to stamp out the spread of the disease. In Afghanistan, residents were stunned by back-to-back violent attacks that included a gunman entering the maternity ward of a hospital in Kabul and killing 16 people. The dead included nurses, new mothers, and even two newborn infants. On the same day, a suicide bomber killed 24 people during a funeral procession for a local commander in eastern Afghanistan. And that does it for our news headlines today.